You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm David Lazarus, in for Lizzie O'Leary. The economy, it's clearly on the mend. Stocks are up. Corporate profits, up. The gravy train, it's chugging along. But not for everyone. If you look around, it seems like a number of people have crashed through the safety net and are out on the street. The Department of Housing and Urban Development says the most common length of time that someone is homeless is 1 or 2 days, and half the people who enter a homeless shelter will leave within 30 days, never to return. But that impression might not be shared by everyone. To find out more about the state of homelessness in 2015, we turn to Patrick Marquis, Deputy Executive Director of Advocacy for the Coalition for the Homeless. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the program.
First, I'm having a hard time getting my hands around the actual scope of the problem, because when I look online, I see estimates that put the national tally of homelessness in the hundreds of thousands, some in the millions. How big is the problem?
Well, the problem is big and, by all accounts, getting worse. Homelessness has always been incredibly difficult to measure accurately for kind of obvious reasons, you know, counting folks who are sleeping out on the streets or, you know, sleeping in train terminals and places like that. It's always going to be a difficult thing. Plus, we have the problem of what many of us call the hidden homeless, when you've got families and individuals who are living doubled up with other friends or relatives or sleeping temporarily in motels and things like that. So you have these kind of very temporary situations. It's not just the folks who are sleeping rough on the streets. It's not just folks who are sleeping in shelters. The problem is even bigger than that. The federal government estimates that there are about 600,000 people experiencing homelessness each night. But we know that number is actually bigger than that. This is a problem that is huge and that's getting worse.
Not to be cynical, but is homelessness just a part of having a large urban environment? Will there always be people who either by misfortune or by choice in some cases want to be outside the system?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think it's important to realize that the period that we're living in now of modern homelessness that really began in the late 70s, early 1980s is in some ways unique in American history. We had periods of kind of mass homelessness in the Great Depression in the 1930s, obviously. We've had a period since the late 70s, early 80s, the last 30 years roughly, where we've seen this problem. But before that, we didn't. It's not like there were no people who were homeless, but we didn't have hundreds of thousands of Americans experiencing homelessness each night in the 60s and 70s. And that's because we had a stronger safety net in some ways, particularly when it came to affordable housing. We had less of a gap between incomes and apartment rents and housing costs. A whole host of other reasons. So this is a problem that absolutely has real and effective solutions. What we're really missing is the leadership from government to really make it happen and to make those key investments.
I suppose some people might think there's a stereotype about the homeless, that they're all mentally ill or they all might have substance abuse issues. That's not the case. I mean, these are people who, for lack of a better word, just simply, in many cases, got unlucky.
Clearly, there's a sort of stereotypical image of who's homeless. It's seen as kind of the older man panhandling on a sidewalk or on a subway train. But in reality, the majority of people who experience homelessness are families and kids. I know, you know, in the neighborhood that I live in New York, there was a woman who was a waitress at the local BBQ restaurant in my neighborhood. And, you know, she was a homeless mom and her two kids were and her were sleeping in a shelter right in the neighborhood. You wouldn't know it, but that's actually one of the places you're more likely to find folks who are homeless is low-wage workers working as security guards, home health aides, waitresses in fast food restaurants. You know, these are the folks that experience homelessness in many ways, and it really cuts across the stereotypes.
In other words, it's you, it's me, it's people we know.
It's the working poor. A third of homeless families in New York City shelters are working families, some of them working two jobs. These are folks who are doing their best to make ends meet, following all the rules, and yet they can't find housing that they can afford.
Patrick Marquis is the Deputy Executive Director for Advocacy for the Coalition for the Homeless in New York. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you again.
As Patrick mentioned, it's difficult to measure statistics on the hidden homeless, those whose personal economies have temporarily crashed. Darlene Bell Grayson found herself in just that situation recently. She moved to Los Angeles after living in New York for 15 years. She held a variety of jobs in the Big Apple, from desk jobs to gigs on Broadway. Grayson never had trouble finding work until she found herself here.
I'm homeless. I really am homeless. But I'm not the homeless person that you see and you think is homeless. I'm not on the street. I'm not dirty. I'm not raving and needing medication. I'm not the typical face of a homeless person, but I actually am. And I don't know where I'm going to go, and I don't know what I'm going to do. It just never crossed my mind that I would ever be in a place of being without, because I had saved so much. I lived on very little when I was doing a Broadway show, and I always had it in my mind, I want to be able to make it through the lean times. So I learned from my parents budgeting very well, and my mom is really, really good with that. And so here I am. It's now June of 2012. I have no unemployment. I have no job. I have no prospects. I have no rent. I don't have family with the resources that can jump in and help me. I was just at a loss for words. And it's not because I did anything. I'm doing everything that I know to do to find work. And I'm pursuing work in avenues that I wouldn't ordinarily even go to, that I'm just trying to take care of myself and nothing's happening. When I say nothing, I had nothing. I mean, I don't have rent. I don't have food. I had nothing. And then I got very sick out of nowhere. I got a job, and then I wasn't able to start the job because then I got shingles. So now I'm contagious to some people that haven't had chickenpox. I can't look for work for a month. I got behind on my rent. I have never missed my rent in my adult life. And at that point, I had been on my own for 20 years, a little over 20 years. I've never been late for my rent. And I've got friends, but I didn't have friends that were in a position to do a whole lot. There had been another person that I didn't know really that well, but had heard that I was in a very tough time and opened her home to me. And I thought, I'll be here a maximum of 2 months. 8 months later, when I moved, but I was living on her couch for 8 months. It allowed me to, first of all, find a job, be able to save money, to get back on my feet. But the question that was always in my mind was, how did I get here? How did I become homeless? What decisions did I make on the way that led to this? I would ask other people that knew me well enough that would have an unbiased eye, and they're just as mystified. You don't realize that you look down on others that are in a hard time. It's just, it must be that they did this, this, and this. I didn't do any of those things, but life still happened to me. I never thought that I would actually say this. I wouldn't have changed it. I don't regret having gone through it. I will grow from it, but I wouldn't change it.